Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Oh, I'll have a Gordon's Pink.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
How are we doing? All right.
Oh, good, mate. You?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. Not bad at all.
Living the dream.
We've had another email.
Oh, very good.
This time from a gentleman called Josh.
All right.
And the email goes, "Morning, boys. Been catching up on the podcast and listened to the episode where you discuss how things have changed over the years, school, etc. Got me thinking, if you four had the chance to change the school curriculum, what would you change? What would you get rid of and what would you add in? Things like more life skills. Loving the pod. Keep it up. Josh."
Ooh, what's the chances?
Oh, yeah.
What? We've had an email off someone called Rob.
Oh, me?
No, no, another one.
Hang on, that's my punchline.
Very similar to that. And he's... Yeah, he's, how strange is that?
That is strange.
So he's written, "I would like to hear your views on the education system and if you feel that it is adequate for your children's needs. I feel that the education curriculum is letting young children down and is not preparing them for real life. They are not taught about how the economy works, how the stock market and banks work. How are they expected to navigate life when they have no knowledge of how mortgages work? The pitfalls of debt and the consequences. Thank you, a concerned granddad."
Yeah, good question. Ooh. That.
Yeah.
Like it.
So, well...
We'll answer that for you, Grandad Rob.
Grandad Rob, yeah.
Given the fact that I knew, obviously knew that email had come in, it led me to look into it, because being the one that's not got kids, I genuinely have no idea what they get taught at schools these days.
You went to school, though, didn't you?
It's debatable. I turned up. I was there in person.
Yeah.
That's about as far as it went. I don't know. I genuinely don't know anything about schools since 1999.
Nothing at all?
Yeah. No. Okay. I've never... It's not been something I've just kept up with the national curriculum. So I did. I went and had a look and to understand just roughly like what they were learning now. And the first thing I read... was, so basically, school curriculum in England, every state-funded school must offer a curriculum which is balanced and broadly based, and which promotes the spiritual, moral, cultural... Sorry, let me do that again. Promotes the spiritual, moral, cultural... promotes the spiritual, moral, cultural, mental and physical development of pupils at the school and of society, and prepares...
Can you just repeat that?
Oh, you swag. And prepares pupils at the school for the opportunities, responsibilities and experience of later life. And that was the bit that I've often thought recently. A bit like exactly what Rob said. I felt as though they've not moved with the times. Mm-hmm. And a little bit
surprised. I'm going to blow Mark's brains here. I don't think they use chalk anymore.
What?
Or slate.
No, and then fountain pens with feathers coming out at end. None of them either. No. Yeah. No.
So it completely... I was surprised to see that obviously they had actually... They were looking forward. And two of the curriculum that's new to me that I didn't realise, and you guys might know this, is citizenship and it is just citizenship.
What they teach that?
Yes. Yeah.
And what?
I'll read it to you just so you know. It said, "A high quality citizenship education."
Easy for you.
Have you been drinking, Rob?
Right.
This is our...
I'll go again.
Very.
Citizenship.
Come on, come off at fast show in leather chair.
A high quality citizenship education helps to provide pupils with knowledge, skills and understanding to prepare them to play a full and active part in society. In particular, an understanding of democracy, government and how laws are made and upheld. Teaching should equip pupils with the skills and knowledge to explore political and social issues critically, to weigh evidence, debate and make reasoned arguments. It should also prepare pupils to take their place in society as responsible citizens, manage their money well and make sound financial decisions."
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the extended edition of the Chatting Podcast.
get comfy. We might be here a while.
There's a lot to that.
So, there is. But that really surprised me, that. Because that, if based on what Rob said, or what Rob's question was, and without knowing that, I would have gone all in on that whole the financial situation of not knowing how mortgages work, not understanding tax, not understanding all that sort of thing. But that surprised me because I didn't realise that that is already in place. Or
Well, okay. They're very fancy words.
All right, yeah, okay.
They're very fancy words,
right,
Rob.
Okay. As a parent, I'm obviously listening to you because I don't. That's just what their curriculum says it's supposed to teach.
And what most schools are doing is ticking a box because there's no. The thing is, there's no exam for it. There's no, you know, everything that you've just said there is not tested. So the fact that it's not tested, they don't care. The schools don't care. This is one of the. I promise I'll let someone else talk, but. I feel quite strongly about this, and I have done for a long time, and especially having three kids all around that
you know
age.
Of.
So yeah, I've got 14, 12, and 10. So you know, and what is taught at school now is pretty much exactly what was taught at school when I was at school. I mean, I literally
just in colour.
Yeah, my eldest, you know, is just started. So they start the GCSEs in year 10 now.
Right. Did we start them in year 9?
No, year 11.
Oh wow!
We did our GCSEs in year 11.
I thought you meant this working the way up.
So my eldest literally last week had her English GCSE. She's in year 10.
Yeah.
And they're talking about Romeo and Juliet. They're talking about A Christmas Carol. You know, now I'm not saying that these things shouldn't be taught in school. That you know, the great pieces of literature and fine, but. When I'm listening to the same thing regarding the same thing about maths and algebra and trigonometry and Pythagoras and you remember all them things that we've never used in our life?
Absolutely.
I listen to talking about Romeo and Juliet and the Christmas Carol. And these are the things they're talking about and they're researching and they're having to revise for their exams. That's because that's the thing that the schools are tested on, the pupils are tested on. That's what the results are in. They get the results
for. That's the box they're trying to tick, isn't it?
And that's the box they're trying to tick because it's all about how well do they perform. So, yes, they do. They call it in different things in different schools, I think. I think some schools call it like PD, personal development, I think.
I think it's... They call it RS, I think.
RS,
at Winterhill.
Yeah. In some,
what used to be religious studies.
Yes.
It's not quite just religious studies. It's everything. It's all encompassing about how to be a better person, accepting people from different... granted walks of life, you know, whether that be cultural or orientation, you know, whether someone's horizontal or whatever. anyway, but yeah, I digress.
So the thing is, Rob, they put it on there, you know, on the government website or whatever, because that's the right thing to do and the right thing to say.
Yeah.
It's a throwaway thing. They're not teaching them. They're still not teaching them about things like interest rates, mortgage rates, you know, the economy, credit cards, debt. They're just not. No. And to me, we go back to, I suppose, both questions about teaching life skills. It's not there at all.
No.
At all.
See, I felt a little bit positive having read what I'd read, you know, thinking, oh, wow, things have actually changed. I'm really surprised by that, you know. I almost wanted Martin Lewis lessons at school. Yep. You know, the whole way that Martin Lewis does his TV programmes and they're educational.
Really engaging as well,
yeah,
aren't they?
Engaging, educational.
Understandable.
And it's that sort of thing that I expect that they should be teaching in school now. You hit a note there, Kurt, when you said about the math side of things. Mm-hmm. That for me... based on what Josh's question was, which was what would you take away? And for me, yes, we need maths, but we only need the basics of maths. We only need so much of it. When you start getting into the algebra and the geometry and
I know exactly where you're going with this, but I think it's probably multifaceted and they would need to they would teach it in school, but I think you would have to break kids off into different factions in terms of ability and what it is that I suppose what they want to do as a career. I know it's quite early to start looking at careers, you know.
But I think that's where I'm coming from. So if you have no intention of doing anything that requires that level of maths,
yes.
Which if we look at the broad spectrum, how many things do require that level of algebra maths?
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
So it's a case of, and I've always thought of this as, kids are like sponges, aren't they? Right? Their brains are like sponges. They will soak up so much. But why feed it information and clog it up with information that they don't, at that point, really need? Like, just the basic foundations, like what we're talking about with the financial stuff, which would fit into maths, wouldn't it? The financial situation, interest rates. That would go into their maths lessons and would be more usable by more students.
I agree.
In their early life, and if they decide as they get a little bit older to start to that's the path they're going to go down, that's when they start learning the higher degree of maths and stuff. I just think that level at that age, I just don't think that's particularly necessary.
I agree.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I agree with all three of you. You know, I also think there's also other lessons like geography and history. I don't think they should be teaching. Well. I don't think they should get rid of, say, those two subjects, geography and history, because they're quite important to know about the sort of world and what's happened in the world before. But in the days of now, the internet, kids will go off and learn their own stuff about geography and history. So I don't think that, you know, you should be sat in a lesson learning about Battle of 1066. Is it important compared to, say, mortgage rates, APRs?
See, I disagree with that, because I think if you never introduce that subject, the kids would never know if it's something that they want to take any further.
Like I said, I'm not saying they should strip it all back. I'm not saying they don't know history and know geography. But I mean, in my day, I mean, I know I'm sort of older than you guys, but I mean, I had
abacus.
I had, like, you know, two history lessons a week, two geography lessons a week.
You're telling me there was history when you were younger? I thought you lived in history.
No, we were creating it.
So just to clarify, though, Mark, so did you have them all the way through school?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because obviously now you can drop them lessons.
Yeah, I mean, I think in my latter... I mean, I can't really remember a lot, because I don't retain a lot of information if I don't need to. I think in my latter sort of year, maybe, I could choose the lessons. But it were like, if you chose that one, you couldn't choose that.
That's
or this
correct.
One.
That's yeah. still saying. Yeah.
You know, but even so, you know, most of my school years I were doing, you know, my lessons, were I were doing geography, I were doing history. Okay, I learnt stuff, but I can't remember a lot of stuff about my history and geography. And okay, we didn't have internet then, so it made sense, but I think times have moved on. So do kids, I agree with Mark, teach a little bit of geography, a little bit of history. Do you know what I mean? So at least they've got the basics. It's a bit like the maths thing, what Rob said. Do the basics. But do you need, you know, 2 or 3 hours a week on history and geography? No, skip them. Do more of the, you know, the mortgages, the interest rates, APRs, even to a degree about not getting scammed on internet, you know, because kids use internet, they use phones. So teach them more about that, you know, go down that road of
life skills.
Life skills, you know, and certainly drop, you know, and when you know, even religious lessons. I mean, I don't even get me that. I don't think they should be taught in school at all.
Oh, I get where you're coming from, but I think it's important that religion is not just hid away, because it is a part of life.
Well, I was going to say some context to that. I mean, all I did was at the school were RE, religious education, and it was just about one religion. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't teach. What I mean by not teaching is that I think they should do a lesson about these are the religions in the world, right? And you are whoever you want to be, but these are them. But it don't need, you know, an hour lesson each week.
Almost more focused around culture rather than religion
as education.
Because I mean, I would say if you're going to talk about religion, then you should be speaking about them all equally.
Well, my kids go to a Catholic school.
Right.
My kids go to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
And I was
So will they teach them about other religions?
They do. That's why I was going to say that. I was quite pleasantly surprised, because I thought that going to a Catholic school, that's all they would be taught, that's all they were, but they don't. They're actually very, very, very diverse on what they teach from a religious point of view. They do more of it because it's a religious school.
They just don't let other religions into the school.
You know, they do more of it, but you know, it was our choice to send the kids to a Catholic school, so we can't complain about that. Mm. But they do cover all religions.
I mean, I to some degree, I understand certain benefits of religious studies. As an atheist, I think it's pointless. It's absolutely a waste of time. But I get that there's certain outcomes of the lessons that they're learning, because, like you said, it's not just about the Bible or anyone's Bible. It's about elements of being a good person or...
That's very much, I suppose, what I was saying about religion. Religion is a part of world, and I think it's... When we talk about life skills, I think whether you're an atheist or not, it is still something that we live with.
Absolutely.
On a day-to-day basis. Yep. So a child to leave school having an understanding of different religions, I think, is important. Mm. But I like what you've just said there, Rob, that a lot of religions, no matter which religion it is... A lot of their base, their core, is about being a good person,
yeah,
and about being good to others.
I think as long as
that message is driven through.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was one of the first years in junior school, and we were doing the Good Samaritan. And I remember we took props in, so everyone got dressed up and that. And I took in...
Because I was Joseph, did you?
No. I loved Rambo when I was younger. So I got a plastic... obviously, it wasn't a real one. I took a plastic, you know, the plastic Rambo toy knife. And I took that
the dagger.
And that one, that one at props for the Good Samaritan. Anyway. It's the messages behind it, isn't it? About stopping and helping and so on.
I mean, you're right about that. When I say about stopping, you know, not doing religious education, what I'm saying is I did religious education. I had two lessons every week for an hour. And I did that for about 5-6 years. Do they need to do that 2 hours a week, you know, all year round for like 8 years? No.
Well,
that's just a waste. You only need to tell kids about different religion. How long's that going to take? A couple of weeks? A couple of months? Not going to take.
You know, come on, sir. We skip that bit.
It's not going to take 8 years to tell kids about different religions. I don't get it. They're just wasting time.
And I think that's where the question leads to, isn't it? Though that even though these subjects are still important, is the balance right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the balance right? I mean, we talk about obesity crisis in kids, you know, and we talk about that they're not healthy, and you know that they're spending more time on the computers at home or whatever, but yet my kids still only do an hour of physical education, PE, a week in school. You know, but yet they'll do 3 hours of religious education you know, 2 hours of algebra or whatever.
And I think that's where the balance
and
is.
And you know, my other issue is exactly what you just said, is with PE. That certainly from my memory of school, it was all about sports. It was just sports. Yep. So, today you're playing football, today you're playing rugby, today you're playing tennis, today you're doing this. But they never actually taught people about living a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, nutrition.
Exactly that. Nutrition. And not necessarily to the depths of calories in versus calories out, but the general, if you are what you eat and what you do. And just how to live a healthy lifestyle in all different ways, shapes or forms, that for me would come under PE. And there was always just this thing. I get the idea behind it that they're trying to get kids active because they might not be doing it outside of school. So they're trying to get them active in that, and that's important. But I always felt there was a lack of education when it came to that side of things outside of sport, because it's not just about sport. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. I disagree with the subject that it would be included in. So I agree that it should be included, but for me it should be in biology. Because I think PE, physical education, should be that. It should be the kids getting physical. It should be the kids being out playing sport, playing football, running athletics, whatever it is. It should be about...
Fine, they just do PE and then straight into biology.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted to turn a point where you said earlier, Kirk, about box ticking. And there's something that absolutely, I wouldn't say it boils my blood, but it baffles me. Is that, so Helen runs a school kitchen. Now, she can get an impromptu visit from the Food Standards Agency at any time. They can come in, make sure that everything's clean, everything's, you know, stored correctly, they're dressed appropriately, the way they're prepping food is safe and hygienic, and everything is as it should be. Yet the school gets a warning that they're going to get an Ofsted visit. How can that be right?
Mm. Yeah.
How can that be right? So, surely that visit should be impromptu. And you'll hear, and I hear it, of schools... Teacher staying over. Oh, we need to prepare because we've got an Ofsted visit. What? It's like they're putting on a performance for the audit.
Absolutely.
And then the audit. Oh, we got outstanding. I'm oddly bloody surprised. If you didn't, you want sacking.
Yeah, if you knew it would come.
Absolutely.
I've got a question over that. I didn't know that. I didn't know they would pre-warn them.
Yeah.
So if they pre-warn them, I don't think they should. But then, so why do so many schools, or quite a lot of them, then fail? Surely are they going? Oh, Ofsted's going. Hey, it don't matter. We'll just leave things as they are. I mean, surely you'd be.
I don't know.
It's weird, isn't it?
it could be a multitude of things, but I think they should all be impromptu. You should never know that somebody's coming to do a check on your
of
abilities.
Course, yes. Otherwise, there's no point on the check.
No. Because and you see only... people working overtime to prepare for these visits. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, Mark, if based on Josh's question, if you could add something, I know you've said about that you would get rid of religious studies.
Yep.
What would you add?
Well, it'd be the financial advice one, the mortgage rates, the APRs, credit cards, credit in general. I'd do a whole lesson about money, basically.
Yeah.
And you know, budgeting money, that's what I would
budgeting.
Add.
But yeah, because
you could just call it finance.
Finance, whatever. I'd do a whole lesson like that, without a shadow of a doubt, because I regard myself as pretty good with money, and I'd taught that at school. Like, it came from my mum and dad, because my mum and dad always had businesses. I mean, they had everything from a pub to an off licence, to a post office, to a sandwich shop, to a news agent. I mean, that you could say, well, that's great, but you could also go, well, they must have been crap at it if they kept changing the business. but they had loads of businesses, and of course, I got a lot of my financial sort of money sort of head from them.
Yeah.
But you know, my son, for example, Ethan, although he's pretty good with money, he does feel that he were let down by school, that none of this were taught. So that's what I would personally ask.
There's another thing that touches on this, that you think it goes back to that whole, they might not learn it at home, because you might assume that they did, and we've spoken about it already, almost like DIY. But it would come under as engineering and trade skills. Mm-hmm. Things, you know, just your basics of electrical and plumbing and things that are, they're only learning the very basics, very, very basics. But just to get their mind to work into a more of a trade skill.
Yeah.
Things that they can...
Well, just being independent, changing a plug, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, a fuse blows on kettle.
Yeah.
Kettle don't work, I'll buy another one.
And it's almost giving them an insight into these skills that they might think, do you know what, I really enjoyed that. Like, I know I never had any access, but... there was nothing that made me think, oh, I really quite like electrical work. You know, I know we did design and technology, and you loosely do learn some things in that, but it's not the kind of engineering.
This is what we're saying, it's all old fashioned though, it's all out of date. So when we did DT was woodwork.
Yeah,
with balsa wood.
And that's because on the curriculum, it was need to know how to use a lathe, tick, need to know how to use a chisel. Tick, need to know how to use a, you know, the tick, because the curriculum that they were following was from, you know, Mark's era, 1901 or something like that. So,
Mark.
Can you imagine getting a phone call from school? Dad, can you come and pick me up? What's up? Well, I've made a coffee table out of a pallet. they've been teaching us Etsy at school.
Yeah, it's true. The skills that they were teaching in D&T are now, you know, they'd be better off teaching us the difference between emulsion and gloss, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Things that you actually go, hey, what's the difference between that?
When I look at Scarlett, so it was when DT, when she first started doing technology and woodwork at school, she actually found it really interesting. To a point where she started talking to me about maybe wanting to be an engineer when she was older.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. But fast forward 2 years, and because all they've been doing is making, I don't know, a wooden shelf, you know, for 2 years.
Christ, how big is this shelf?
Yeah.
how many have they made?
You know, she's not interested anymore. She's lost interest in it. She's lost interest in that whole subject.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how massive is engineering in general?
Huge.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, some of it needs cranes.
And how interesting could it be?
Yeah.
How engaging could it be?
Absolutely.
You know.
And it will always exist.
But they're too busy still teaching them about the, you know, several grades of sandpaper.
So
and wet
can
and dry.
I ask? Yeah. There was one more thing that I'd found when I was researching, and I wonder whether you guys know this. Have the kids ever spoke about what they do in IT these days? Or did they literally call it computing? I think on the national, on the curriculum, it's down as computing. Do you know what they learn in that now?
I think they learn bits of coding and all sorts of stuff now, programming and
Mark's looking.
Well, all I'm going to say, I don't know the answer to the question, but all I'm going to say is that when I worked at school, we didn't have computers, so I didn't even do computers at school.
Yeah. Well, this,
we had nothing.
I think this feeds
in. Calculator.
Mark, you're right, Mark. Yeah. But when we were at school, it was literally the basics of how do you turn the computer on. That was like the first thing you. So that's the. All right, okay, yeah.
This is a floppy disk.
But on the Mac, because Macs have just come out, yeah. It's on the back and it's not on the front.
Can I just ask you guys then, when you three were at school, did you have like BBC computers? Is that what you
had? Yes, when I first started doing BBC.
Acorn.
When I first started, in all fairness, by the time I got to probably like the second or third year of school, we were on Macs.
Do any of you ever remember? And it got brought into school especially. So you obviously wouldn't have been at the same time when you were there, whether it got repeated. But I remember it got brought into school, an Archimedes.
Is that an animal?
No, it was a computer. And the CD, it was like a vinyl record. You know the disc that went in it? It was massive.
See, I remember these, but not school.
Yeah, I think it came. We were in the junior school, and some. I can't remember if it was a pupil that brought it in to show it us, or whether. Yeah, you know, like
my dad's
got one of these.
Wow.
Well, because there were some, you know.
I remember the Macintosh when we. It was the Macintosh first at school, but when we were there, it was literally how to open a file. It surprised me to learn that, yes, in IT now, they do talk about programming languages, coding, Boolean logic, stuff that, is an engineering principles. So that did surprise me.
I mean, it's the one thing that I think they are going in the right direction of when it comes to computing and computer science and stuff. I mean, right down to the fact of Noah, he's my youngest, 10 years old, so he's still in primary school, junior school? Yeah, junior school. And he's coding.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's exactly how it should be.
Yeah,
because that's
completely that's the future. Agree. If there's one thing they've got right, that is it.
Absolutely.
It's all computers, isn't it? And going forward, if you can't, I'm not saying that if you can't code, then you're screwed. But for anyone that can code, it just gives you that.
It's a stepping stone, yeah.
It's an added benefit.
Whatever comes next after that.
Yeah. But again, this leads me on to my next bit, if you like, regarding this, is that when they go up to secondary school, high school, whatever you want to call it nowadays, big school, is that it all just then falls into the same pattern. You know, obviously English, maths, science, a lesson of PE, some religious education, and then anything else that's things like computer science, coding, or art, or anything that I would consider as to be non-vocational. Is that the right term?
I'd say so. Yeah.
Non-vocational is almost looked at secondary, and this is what really annoys me. So, the choices now, when you do your choices at secondary school, beforehand, we had it split into certain categories, weren't it? So we could either pick geography, history, or drama.
Yes.
And then in another category, you could pick, you know, RE, PE, or whatever. Mm. Whereas now, certainly in the school that my kids go to, it's split into three different levels. So there's like one that's mainly academic, so English, maths, science, heavily led around the history, geography sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's one which is middle of the road, so it's some academic, some vocational. Vocational, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the mainly vocational.
Right.
So like, for instance...
And you have to pick one of...
And you pick a pathway. It's called a pathway, and you pick a pathway. And I realised how much of an issue this is when my daughter came to do her check, her choices, and she wanted to pick the vocational route, which obviously still contains your English, your maths, etc. But it was then mainly art, drama, and the school tried to talk her out of it to a point where at first they said no.
But why?
And me and her mum had to get involved with why can she not choose the choice that she wants to choose. And do you know what they said?
The numbers, too many people doing it?
But she wouldn't pass it.
That she's intelligent enough to do the other pathway.
Jesus.
Right, but that's not what she wants to do.
They want to tick the boxes.
They want to tick the boxes. They want to get...
They want the results.
Grades. They want the results. But what bothers me is the fact that it shouldn't be about how intelligent you are or not.
Yeah.
You've still got to do your English, your maths, your sciences and stuff. That's fine. That's your base and goes all the way through school. That's not an issue. Mm. The other bits are meant to be focused around what you are interested in, what you want to... specialise in, what you may have got an interest in.
Yeah, what's your passion and all that.
So it shouldn't come into intelligence. That's not what it should come down to. It should come down to, right, this person's got an interest in history or geography. Yeah. They want to do that, so let's encourage them and nurture them and take them through that journey. Yeah. Or this person's got an interest in art and drama and stuff like that. Right, let's nurture it.
All I heard was, you've got an interesting arse. And I was like...
Art. An interest in art.
I was like a magic teacher saying that to a pupil at school.
So that's my issue, that it's still looked at as, if you are good at maths and science and geography and history, then you're classed as intelligent. And if you're not good at them, oh, it's all right, go and do drama.
Yeah.
And it really winds me up.
Listen, that's exactly what happened to me at school when they sent a bunch of people to the army for a week. And they basically, you didn't know this at the time.
Queen Elizabeth Barracks at Strensel in York?
Might have been, yeah. I can't actually remember, if I'm honest. But they sent a group of people, and everybody had to put the name forward that wanted to do it. That's how they did it. You put your name forward, and then you get drawn out of a hat. Yeah, there was no hat. There was no draw. It was basically everybody that they felt weren't going to succeed, right?
Along the with reason I know where it is, because I went 2 or 3 years before you went.
Really?
Yeah, but mine was different. I actually wanted to be in the army, so that's why I...
Well, I was intrigued by it and thought that that'd be a great experience, you know. But it wasn't just anybody that they didn't think were going to do well. It was also anybody that had picked drama.
All right.
Earlier on.
Yeah.
And I was there in the fold because I'd picked drama. And again, it's that whole... You know, wants to do drama, so he's not going to make anything of himself. Send him to army.
Yeah.
Or send him to that to see if he likes that, you know.
Did you know this, right? So again, I can only talk from experience of the school that my kids go to. I don't know whether it's like it in every school, okay? But I was absolutely gobsmacked at this, right?
Is it a Rob fact?
So no, it's there. It's an actual fact. So... my kids qualify for free school dinners, okay?
Right.
So because they qualify for free school dinners, they automatically have to attend extra education lessons.
What?
What?
Why?
Not just my kids, by the way. Any child on free school dinners.
You mean outside of school hours?
So within school hours.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right.
So they take them out of a lesson to sit to teach them extra English and maths. And the lessons that they take them out of are PE, art, etc.
Really?
So what they're saying is, because of somebody's financial situation, that you're not as intelligent.
Yep.
That is nuts.
How mental is that?
And taking them out of the other subject matters that...
To give them extra English and maths.
That's very strange.
It's very...
I mean, it's not just strange, it sounds a little bit immoral.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with.
Do you know what it is? It goes back, and I'm not going to go on a political rant. Well, maybe slightly. It's the way the government are running things and are pushing for certain standards in things. Same with the NHS. They're all that busy filling in paperwork. They're not doing the jobs.
Yeah.
You know, people are running around ragged. Yeah. Oh, got to tick this box, tick this box. Schools, tick this box, tick this box. Get on with the job. Teach the kids. Get the kids, you know... It's crazy, isn't it?
The most accurate thing I've ever seen, I think it's quite popular, and I think it's been knocking around for a while, by the way. I don't think it's a new thing, but it's a sketch drawing. I don't know if you've ever seen it by some artist. I think it was originally done for a newspaper column or something like that. And it's a sketch drawing of a fish. So a fish in a goldfish bowl. I think there's a dog, maybe. There's a lion. There's a monkey. Different a giraffe, there's different animals lined up in front of a tree. And then there's obviously what's meant to be a teacher or the government or whatever it is that basically says, right, we're going to judge how good you are by climbing that tree. And, you know, I don't think I've explained it very well, but go and search it, search it. But basically the sentiment is exactly that we measure every single child on how they are, how intelligent they are. And I'm doing air quotes, intelligent they are, based on the same measuring stick.
Yeah. A fish ain't going to climb a tree.
A fish can't climb a tree.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's any less of a thing than a monkey.
Yes.
And that's... It really winds me up.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine going to a chip shop and asking for monkey and chips, could you?
I mean, I agree. I agree. I guess the question would be, then, how do they measure it? I'm not saying... how they're doing it the right way, but how we, it's like means testing in some way. How do you?
Well, the first thing I do is get rid of exams altogether.
Well, okay. Well, that's a wider thing. Yeah.
That's the first thing I do. I mean, my 10-year-old this week has been sitting SATs. Yeah. 10 years old and has been
practicing exams for taking exams.
Has been practicing exams to take exams
for statistics for the school, so they can put a big banner outside saying that we're outstanding.
Yeah.
So are you saying get rid of exams for just that age or altogether?
Everything.
Right. Okay.
Apart from higher education, I understand that when you get to a higher education, you need to be able to prove your competency in that area.
Right. But you mean at school level?
Okay. For me, I think teachers should be higher paid. I think it should be more attractive industry to go into.
Yeah.
I think that by making it higher paid, I think it should be then taught differently. I think teachers should be taught differently. And then I think that the teacher should be able to be in a position where they can, based on your school record, the work that you've done, any essays, any assignments, any artwork, any drama performances, whatever it is, they should be in a position to be able to get to their child, get to a child at the end of it all and go, this is where they are.
Yeah.
This is where they are.
And I say, it's just not understanding the measuring system of
it's different.
At the end of it all to say what, you know.
Yeah, it all needs to be same, but the end of the day, you know, you've got kids that go to school, that they are spoon-fed the curriculum so they can tick a box. They're then tested on that curriculum. So again, they can be marked and graded and, you know, how intelligent they are, and then they go to college. You've now got to go to college or an apprenticeship, so you've got to stay in some sort of schooling till you're 18. That's the law now. Yeah, you can't just leave school at 16 and go and get a job.
You can't.
No. You can by a means of an apprenticship.
Apprenticeship. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. So it's got to be apprenticeship,
which I think is more important than some of the further education establishments. Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, but then you get most people that. They come out of school and think, well, I've got to go to college, so they go to college. They haven't been taught anything about life skills or what they want to be or how it all links in when they're older. So they end up just doing a course that the friend's doing at college. I'm talking very general. I know you have the odd person, you know, but they do a course and they finish the college course in 2-3 years' time. By this point, they're 20, 21-year-old and they've still got absolutely no idea what they want to do. Or what they want to be, or what it means to do that or to be that. So then they have no other choice, but they think, well, I don't know what to do. I'll go to uni because that's what their mates are doing. And that's what, so then they go out to uni, the degrees that, you know, in America now you can get a degree in Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Well, you can in this country, I think, somewhere.
Okay.
So, in some university.
These degrees are opening up now because it's all about money.
Yeah.
It's all about universities being able to get money. So then fast forward another 3 years or whatever, and yes, the person's degree qualified in whatever degree it is.
Taylor Swift. They're
you know, 20, so they'll be 21, sorry, 22 years old, right? Degree, debt of 40,000-50,000 quid, and still absolutely no idea what they're going to do with their life. And it's almost as though their life starts then. And what a waste of them 5 years, 6 years of where they could have been developing skills, honing skills, getting experience, whatever it is, chasing the dreams, whatever it is. But we just pigeonhole everyone into the same lane, follow this lane, keep in your lane.
Yeah.
And then when you're 22, 23, 24 years old and saddled up with debt, not our problem.
Yeah,
but the whole system is broken. I would say that the education system is the most broken system in our country.
What? Not NHS?
Not NHS? No. Don't get me wrong. These things are broken. Public services, NHS are broken. Absolutely. But the number one thing, if I was to walk into power tomorrow, the number one thing that would be on the agenda is the education system, because it is.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you regards to the exam thing. Like, for example, I'm not very good at studying. I were not very good at exams. I've got no qualifications. But a lot of that is because I'm just not good at performing on the day at an exam.
Performance anxiety, Mark.
But
it happens to us all.
put me down. Just skimming on over that. But putting it down over a period of time. I'm more of a practical person. I can actually practically do the job. Or when I said the job, I'm at school. If if I were like, I'm just not very good at theory type stuff. I'm more a practical type person. Mm-hmm. So if I was sort of monitored, if you like, or examined over a period of time, because that's what you're saying, judge children over a period of time,
over the actual subject.
Yes, then that's where I would fit in. And that's why I agree with you with the exam thing.
So the trouble is, though, is who would you trust to gauge the level of competency of each child?
A teacher.
And who's to say that teacher's going to be honest with the... That's why they have exams, isn't it? So that you've almost got... and I get it about, you know, you could argue the toss about exams and whether you agree or not. But if you're leaving it to a person's opinion as to whether...
Like they did with COVID. In COVID. They had no exams in COVID.
Yeah. You give it... Look what happened.
Only because people like any reason to kick off, Mark. At the end of the day, the people still got the grades.
No. There were kids getting the wrong grades. There were kids getting grades higher than what they should have done. There were kids getting grades that weren't as high. There were parents paying teachers to give the kids better grades. Yeah,
but in fact, I understand what you're saying, but the trouble with that is that because everybody were locked up, you couldn't really have an oversight into things.
What I'm saying is, if we're going to do that as a normal thing, what's to say that Mr. Pushy, I drive a Lamborghini, goes to school and says to English teacher, my child's the best pupil in this school. He has 10 grand. Or whatever. Do you know, I'm not saying it's all going to be financial bribery, but people can be coerced. People can be biased based on, you know, oh, he's a nice kid. I know he's not very sharp. I'll give him a B. He's only a C, really, but I'll give him a B because he's a nice lad.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas an exam is an exam.
Yeah, true, that could happen, but feeding into what Kirk was saying, he's on about, you know, getting better teachers, paying them more, making the system a bit more robust.
I completely agree with if you pay more money, you could potentially attract the lecturers that are in university.
Yeah.
The people that are actually... what do you call it?
Specialists.
Yeah, experts, specific subject experts in something. Not necessarily somebody who can teach maths, at school, or somebody who's actually a qualified mathematician, or, you know, whatever. It could be somebody who's just an experienced banker teaching finance at school. You know, they understand the mechanics of how banks work and the institution. So you could attract those sorts of people in, couldn't you? So I suppose I completely agree that we should be merging the practical life with... you know, with theory at school, definitely. Exams, I think, I think they do need to exist, if I'm honest, because you still need a level...
You need to quantify some level of ability to know how to best further their education to get the most out of it. Do you know what I mean? Because would suit one person won't suit another child.
Absolutely, and that's where you change the approach in the teaching, in that child that probably is a little bit more challenged when it comes to that sort of thing, but has got potential, give them that support to hit their potential. I agree with that. And then let's have the measuring stick at the end to say, right, yeah, they've achieved their potential. Or, actually, you could do a lot more than this. Do you want to stay on and do A-level? And we'll push you for your next... You know, tailoring it, isn't it? I know it's difficult. Schools are getting bigger and academies, they turn into academies and it's all financial. They run like businesses, aren't they? It's all about money. Yeah. Another thing with schools, other week, I don't know if you saw it, but they were like debating dropping sex education for under nines. How was it even introduced in the first place?
Oh, at school? See, I think me and you are going to differ on this, Mark.
Under nines?
I think sex education should be delivered as early as possible.
No chance.
Well, I think...
Kids should be kids, right, going to school, can playing I just football, check?
I'm guessing they're not asking them to put condoms on a banana. under nine.
Banana?
I don't know, cucumber. But it shouldn't even be a talking point.
Why not?
They're kids.
Why not?
Father Christmas is real.
Yeah.
So is the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Play football. Play kissy catch. Play hide and seek.
Yeah. And here's a penis. Ground.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's not. But it's not that. It's not that. At that age, it's teaching them how babies are made. What's wrong with that?
I just leave it to the stork at that moment in time. The stork comes, delivers the baby. Just that is it. Well, the kids, they are little kids. Let's not take away their innocence.
I think the story that I think, because I saw this story, my point with like Kirk's, I was like, whoa. But then when I read more into the story, I was like, well, hang on a minute. There's education, the sex education, and then the sex education. So there's one thing telling about where babies come from, but I think what they were doing with these under nines were telling them more about sexual transmitted diseases. They were getting more into the sexual abuse. Okay. Well, well, no, they shouldn't. So no. I'm more on Mark's side. Different types of sexual education.
I think covering things like...
The stalk, yeah.
I think covering things like potential abuse or potential... It needs to be done in the right way. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's important that children from a very young age know that you know, what's right and what's wrong. Well, and I don't believe that anybody at any age should be believing that a bird delivers a baby. The end of the day...
Hang on a minute. Does that not happen?
No, wait. I'll teach you later.
I'll teach you.
Is this theory or practical?
The thing is that you're seeing sex as something that's quite dirty and something that's wrong, they're just not ready for it.
They're not at a time of getting into their adulthood, they're not in the time where they're developing.
If it's what Kirk's saying about making babies, right, there's a magic in understanding that we as humans are capable of developing and making a child inside a woman's stomach. I don't think it's a stomach, but womb, whatever.
So what you're telling me is this entire subject just talks about, there you go, a woman can carry a baby. No, there'll be all the ins and outs and everything that goes with. They also talk about sexual orientation. Do you know how many there are?
I imagine there's plenty.
72
orientations.
Wow. 72. What?
Wow.
Kids, go outside and play hide and seek. Do you know what I mean?
Kama Sutra was 90 something.
Yeah. So it's just.
I'm just saying.
We're blowing the minds.
I think they're not teaching them that sort of stuff. There's two different sorts
of sexual education. I agree with Rob and with Kirk. Yes, they should do a sexual education quite young, but the basics of it. But then you go into sexual transmitted diseases or what you were saying about different types of. You know, leave that as a. You know, it's all about proportional age. But listen,
just so I've said it, I am absolutely with you that there's too much information at that age.
Yeah.
You know, and it should be carefully delivered and stuff. But do I believe that we should just ignore it until the 14-year-old and already pregnant? No.
Or because unfortunately,
as much as you don't like to think this, I'm telling you it's fact that children and kids are having sex younger. They just are.
I have no doubt.
And if any kind of education helps them protect them and stuff like that, and then I'm all for it.
Well, Josh and Rob, you set it right, right? Set it right, precedence on this one, aren't you?
Time at the bar, please.
But look, Mark, I've done something. I need you to close your eyes.
I wonder what that smell were.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
Close your eyes.
I'm closing my eyes.
Keep them closed.
I'm keeping them closed.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
Where's he gone?
I dread. I am not holding my hands out.
Door's stuck. Hold on.
I'm not holding my hands out.
Is that right?
What's he got? What's he doing?
Are you tickling my neck?
What's this he's got here?
Rob, what the bloody hell is that? What are you doing?
It's something big.
You can open your eyes.
What the bloody hell is that?
Right, so... You know how we've talked about introducing a feature? And I know you don't
We're not having a feature.
No, and I know you don't just want one feature. So, this is the Wheel of Features.
This is great.
So now...
It's persistent, isn't it? I'll give him that.
It's not just one feature, it's multiple features. And each week, we can have a different one, given whatever the wheel tells us we're going to do.
Love it.
What do you think?
You should get a job on QVC, you Rob.
What, so we can spin that?
We spin the wheel, right? And whatever it lands on, that will be this week's feature.
Now, obviously,
you can see the names of some of the features.
Yeah.
Now, some of them are more based on questions that we will lay out this episode, let everyone, you guys can answer them, or I'll answer them, depending who does it. And then we let everybody that's all listening answer, and we'll give away the answer the following week.
Oh, so listeners can have a go as well.
Absolutely. They can join in.
I'm liking it.
I think you're getting him on board here.
How much is postage?
And some of the others are just more factual things, but just something different.
Been using your woodwork skills there from school, Rob.
Does it spin?
Well, we're about to find out.
Are we going
to
do one?
Let's give it the first spin, shall we?
Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
What's that then? AI jukebox jam.
So, AI jukebox jam. So, I asked AI for the meaning of a particular song.
Yeah.
I'm then going to read you the AI description for that song, and you've got to guess what the song is.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It might be better if I give you an example.
We'll do an example one.
So, someone who's angrily looking at you through a rear view mirror is like, Oasis, don't look back in anger.
Oh,
yes.
There we go.
Is that a song?
No, have you got one?
I've got one, yeah.
All right.
Mark's liking this now, isn't he?
Yeah.
You like this feature?
Something is about a woman claiming someone fathered her child, but he denies it, emphasising the importance of truth and the consequences of rumours.
That sounds like a plotline off EastEnders.
Well.
So that's a song then, yeah?
So that's the description of a song.
We've got to guess
what
the
AI
song.
Deems as what, the description of that song.
Are we guessing the song, or are the listener guessing the song?
Well, both.
Oh.
So I don't. You can have a guess now, but I don't want you to tell. I don't want you to say it. You just keep it to yourself.
I'm going to
let everybody that's listening, they can have a guess, and we'll reveal this next week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, reveal the answer. Oh,
next week.
Tune in next week.
I'm reckoning it's a Madonna song, but I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
No, I think I know what it is.
I ain't got a clue.
Yeah, surprise.
And I'm the DJ.
I think this is going to be a common theme with these features.
But surprisingly, I don't think I would have got... No, I do think I would have got it, but I wouldn't have got it straight away.
What I will say, Rob, is I'll give you 10 out of 10... for your sales pitch.
Oh, yeah. You think he's coming on board?
5 out of 10 out of delivery. I were expecting a bit more pizzazz, a bit more theatre. You know, yeah. Rob.
Oh. Mark, leave that with me, mate.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Well, and on that note, then.
Okay, well, see you next week, then.
See you next week.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered? Or you just want to get in touch with us? Why not drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com. That's two N's, not one N, because one N, it doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.